And now, young Widder Brown. Today, Ellen Brown goes on the stand as a material witness in the trial of her fiancé, Dr. Anthony Loring, for the murder of Horace Steele. And Ellen knows that Anthony's lawyer, their good friend Herbert Temple, is worried over letters which District Attorney Ralph Jordan has produced as evidence that Ellen gave Anthony a motive for murdering Horace. Letters presumably found by Alita Haddon, who claims she saw Anthony shoot Horace. Now, just before Ellen makes her first appearance on the witness stand, she's talking with Anthony before the court convenes. And Anthony is asking her.
Nervous, darling?
No, Anthony.
Good.
I'm frightened, though. Being nervous means feeling self-conscious. But what I feel now is just terror.
Yes, Ellen, I know.
Anthony, I have your future in my hands. I feel as if I should walk on tiptoe. Such a terrible, terrible responsibility.
All you can do is tell the truth when you put on the witness stand.
All I know to tell is the truth, Anthony. Poor Herbert Temple. He sent Bruce Weldon to ask me if I were quite sure I hadn't written those love letters to Horace Steele, or known about the letter Horace wrote his lawyer, saying he wanted to establish a trust fund for my two children.
You know, I'd never have sanctioned any such arrangement if I'd known about it.
Oh, I know.
Noreen Temple came to see me last night. She was rather sweet of her.
Noreen and Herbert are both good people. Seems a shame that they have this burden put on them.
Do you think I was wrong to insist that Herbert defend me?
How can you know what's right or what's wrong to do in something like this, Anthony?
You can't. So let it go with that. Well, it's time to go to the courtroom, dear.
If Lita Haddon is there, staring at me, I shall really be frightened.
She may not be. Let's hope she's not.
But Lita Haddon is in the courtroom, beautifully groomed, very sure of herself. And there is an amused twinkle in her eyes as she watches Ellen take the chair in the witness box. As she listens to Ellen take the oath. And now here's District Attorney Ralph Jordan saying,
Mrs. Brown, will you tell the court the circumstances of your first meeting with Horace Steele?
I met Mr. Steele at Health Center Hospital, Mr. Jordan, in Dr. Anthony Loring's office.
May we have more details, please?
I was on duty as a nurse's aide, and I had reason to collect x-ray plates from Dr. Loring's office. At that time, Mr. Steele was in conference with the doctor, and it was merely a matter of courtesy that I was introduced.
You did not, however, discourage Mr. Steele when he later followed up that introduction.
No. There was no need to discourage him.
Please, no comment, Mrs. Brown. If you did not discourage it, did you encourage it?
I was cordial to Mr. Steele because he was a newcomer to Simpsonville, but...
You were cordial to Mr. Steele. Thank you, Mrs. Brown. That is the answer. Please do not elaborate.
Very well, Mr. Jordan.
When you were cordial to Mr. Steele, that cordiality included your acceptance of valuable presents, did it not?
There was only one valuable present.
Which you accepted?
Yes.
Thank you. However, it's a matter of record that a very handsome trust fund for the benefit of your children was being planned. Isn't that so, Mrs. Brown?
I knew nothing of the trust fund.
Would you venture to guess why Mr. Steele was so generous?
Yes, Mr. Jordan, I would. Mr. Steele liked my children. He was grateful to me because I had been hospitable to his own daughter, Jacqueline Steele. He was a good and a generous man. And he was making a gesture to me and to my family.
An unusual gesture. A gesture, I might say, which so offended Dr. Anthony Loring, who was your fiancé, that he killed Horace Steele.
That's not so. Dr. Loring understood my feelings for Mr. Steele.
I'm sure he did, Mrs. Brown. I'm sure he did. Now, Mrs. Brown, in the matter of Miss Lita Haddon, did you extend hospitality to Miss Haddon in the same degree that you extended it to Horace Steele and his daughter Jacqueline?
No.
Why not?
Miss Haddon was not welcomed in Simpsonville by either Mr. Steele or his daughter. They both felt she was an intrusion.
And so you took sides?
No. No, I did not take sides.
However, you did recognize in Miss Hatton a threat to this newfound bounty that had come your way in the person of Horace Steele.
I recognized no threat to myself in Lita Hatton. I did recognize a real threat to the happiness of Miss Jacqueline Steele.
That was very kind of you.
Mr. Jordan...
May I do the questioning, Mrs. Brown? It's customary for the prosecutor to ask the question.
Very well.
Mrs. Brown, you have been engaged to Dr. Anthony Loring for some time.
Yes.
You believe in long engagements, evidently. Why have you not, in the years that have accumulated since your engagement, why have you not married Anthony Loring?
I've not married Dr. Anthony Loring because my children are not adjusted to the idea of having a stepfather.
I see. And engaged to Dr. Loring, you still were able to go to dinner with Horace Steele, to accept presents from him. Couldn't your behavior be interpreted as something less than honorable?
Yes, it could be so interpreted.
And that does not bother you?
No.
Ah. Your strength is as the strength of ten, because your heart is pure.
Counsel will please confine himself to questioning the witness as to the shooting of Horace Steele.
Yes, Your Honor. Mrs. Brown, where were you the night that Horace Steele was killed?
I was in my home.
Will you tell us, please, what happened that night when Horace Steele came to see you?
He asked me to marry him, and I refused.
I see. Before he came, had anyone else come to see you?
Dr. Loring.
Did Dr. Loring know that Horace Steele was going to propose to you?
Yes.
How do you know that?
Mr. Steele had met him outside my house. Mr. Steele told Dr. Loring the reason he had come to see me.
Dr. Loring has admitted that he waited for a while outside your home.
Yes.
Are you aware that there was a period of time between Dr. Loring's reappearance at your home and Mr. Steele's leaving it, in which the doctor could have gone to Mr. Steele's home?
Yes.
Are you aware also that you have only the doctor's statement about the telephone call he received in your living room?
Yes, Mr. Jordan.
Tell us about that telephone call.
The telephone rang. Dr. Loring answered it. And he told me that he was called out on an important case.
He lied to you?
No. It was an important case. Police Officer Fitzgerald had advised the hospital what had happened. And the hospital called Dr. Loring.
I submit to you that the doctor knew what had happened before that telephone call. That he was with you and in possession of the knowledge that he had killed Horace Steele. That he was building up a case for himself. That he was using you as a potential witness for just such a time as this.
That's not so, Mr. Jordan.
Then I submit something else for your consideration, Mrs. Brown. I submit that you, too, knew that Horace Steele was dead.
No. No, I did not know that.
I say that you knew it. I say that Anthony Loring killed Horace Steele in a fit of maniacal jealousy and that you knew he did it.
That's not true.
Mrs. Brown, is this your handwriting?
I would like to see it closer, Mr. Jordan, please.
I shall be very happy to let you hold this letter. First, however, this is your stationery. This is your monogram on it.
Yes.
It's very beautiful stationery, as the ladies and gentlemen of the jury will see as they pass it among themselves later. This is the stationery you used, I believe, to write to Mr. Steele.
Yes. I wrote to Mr. Steele 3 times, I think. And when I did, I used my best stationery.
Naturally.
To thank him for the one expensive gift he gave me, a gift I tried to return, and...
Mrs. Brown, we will discuss your handwriting now, if you please. Is this your handwriting?
Unless I hold the letter in my hand, I cannot tell.
Oh, come, Mrs. Brown.
What the letter says will prove to me whether I wrote it or not. Far more than my handwriting will, Mr. Jordan.
Mrs. Brown.
Handwriting can be copied. But if that letter is not about the expensive porcelain figures Mr. Steele gave me, or asking him to serve on a local committee, or a thank you note for a dinner party, then it is not my handwriting, Mr. Jordan.
Mrs. Brown, I extend you courtesy when I permit you to voice your opinion in this way. I still demand an answer to my question. Take the letter.
Thank you.
Remember, you're under oath, Mrs. Brown. Now, Is that your handwriting?
No, Mr. Jordan. I did not write this letter.
With her denial that she did not write the letter District Attorney Ralph Jordan has produced, has a point been won by young widow Brown?